Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Please chant the introit from the insert.
You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Thank you.
us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said to him, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you to me. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please turn to Psalm 148 in the front of the hymnal. We'll chant it responsively by whole verse.
Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He gave them free and shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. And all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock, breathing things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven.
He has raised the Lord for his people, praise the Lord all his saints, for the people of Israel, praise the Lord.
Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth, and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Alleluia and verse. Dead, but
God of the living, for all with to him. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they no longer dared to ask him any questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please turn to page 192 to confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day, 675.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our gospel text today, the Sadducees do something truly foolish. They try to use Scripture against Jesus, God Himself, the omniscient inspirer of the Scripture. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So they made up a ridiculous scenario regarding one of the laws given through Moses in order to prove that the resurrection would not come to pass. By Moses' law, a man was supposed to take in his brother's widow after his brother's death and raise up offspring for her if she had none. They proposed that seven brothers all became married to one woman as each one died and left her childless. Then they snidely asked, "In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." Essentially, they're saying, doesn't God's law imply that this life is all there is? For if there was a resurrection, wouldn't that just produce absurdity and confusion? Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, has an excellent answer for them. It's this response that we'll be focusing on in our sermon today. Thankfully for us, Jesus will affirm that there is indeed a resurrection from the dead. He will affirm that believers in him will leave this hard world of suffering and death, will be raised on the last day, and will spend eternity in the new creation as children of the resurrection. Jesus' initial answer back to the Sadducees is, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." Jesus says the Sadducees are wrong. Surely there will be a resurrection, and in it there will be no absurdity or confusion because there will be no marriage. Since all who are raised will be raised eternal, there is no more need for procreation, and thus there is no more need for marriage. Jesus makes it clear with these words that there will be a resurrection of the dead. However, that time has not yet come. In his words, Jesus refers to two ages. He talks about this age and that age. Currently, we are still in this age, but after the resurrection, we will be in that age. These are simple words, but at the same time, they are profound. They are incredibly important. Because of these words, we know that we can find peace, fulfillment, and certain hope even in this age, because we know that age is coming. For this age is full of troubles, suffering, difficulties, and worst of all, death. Paul has a few things to say about this age in his epistle for today. He calls it a time of rebellion, where the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Yes, indeed, Paul says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And certainly, we can see this to be true. Thanks to the national news, this lawlessness is broadcast to us daily. Murders, theft, and crime. Addictions to drugs ruining lives. Thousands of abortions every day. Fighting and discord and wars among the nations all over the earth. Living together outside of marriage has become the norm. Hundreds of thousands of unscriptural divorces and ruined marriages every year. And here in America, church attendance and faith in our Almighty God are decreasing at alarming rates. But it's not just the sin that's self-evident, but the effects of sin. Cancer, sickness, disease, loneliness, and depression. We are bodily afflicted in so many ways. We lose our hearing, our sight, our ability to walk, etc. Hospital and nursing home beds are full, and billions of dollars are spent on medications. It's not hard to see that pain and affliction are everywhere. And we can all feel that. We can all feel those pains and afflictions. We can all see that there are countless depravities in the world, but also in our own lives. They affect our families, our friends, and yes, even ourselves. There's no doubt that the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, the devil himself, is very hard at work in this world. This age in which we currently live is full of hopelessness. It's no wonder that so many people try to escape it with sex, drugs, pornography, fame, alcohol, and countless other temporary pleasures. But in doing so, we're only plunged further into that hopelessness. Until eventually, we're confronted with our greatest enemy, death itself. That dark chasm of hopelessness from which seemingly no one escapes. And if we believe, like the Sadducees, that there is no resurrection, this would be all that we have. A life of hopelessness, dreading a death of hopelessness. But friends, this is exactly why the words of Jesus are so wonderful, so comforting, so powerful. For he speaks of some who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead, where they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Wow! What a relief! What a comfort! If
If this world around us, if this age was all that existed, wouldn't that be depressing? Wouldn't you be in despair? Wouldn't we all be really hopeless? But friends, Jesus assures us that there is indeed a resurrection, that that age is coming. But notice, he also says that only those who are considered worthy will attain to that age. When I look at myself and at my own life, filled to the brim with sin, I don't feel very worthy. So are we back to despair? Are we back to hopelessness? No. Paul writes, God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, it's not on us. It's not based on our own worthiness. Instead, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He cleanses us. He helps us to lead a better life. He makes us holy. And He gives us belief in the truth. And what is that truth? That Jesus Christ, God Himself, came down to earth. Do you remember the description I gave of this age? Yes, Jesus came into that. He left His perfect home in heaven to come to this world full of sin and despair and hopelessness. And do you remember what I said followed that life of hopelessness? Yes, death itself. And Jesus experienced that too. He allowed Himself to be hung on a cross, suffocating to death, an incredibly painful way to die. And while there, He took all of the sin of all time onto Himself, and He felt all of the depression and the despair and the hopelessness that that sin produces. And then He died. God did that for us. Out of His incredible love, He died on the cross, the payment for all of our sins. And then He defeated our greatest enemy. He overcame death itself, and He won the victory. He was resurrected. And by this, we are certain that we will be resurrected too. By His resurrection, He opened up a path to eternal life for all people. And all who believe this will be resurrected on the last day and will live eternally in the paradise of the new creation. This is called the gospel. And Paul says that we have been called through the gospel so that we may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he is saying this: though Jesus died, He was raised in glory, perfect, imperishable, eternal. And because He did that for us, those who have faith in, those who trust in that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we too will be raised, perfect, imperishable, eternal. As Jesus puts it, sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the resurrection. We are children of the resurrection through Christ. Hopelessness? What hopelessness? No, friends, even in this world full of hopelessness, we have certain hope through Jesus Christ. Fellow believers, as children of the resurrection, we are able to face this world full of sin, despair, suffering, and hopelessness because God endured this world, because He overcame death, and because He was resurrected, and He promised the same to us. So we not only have the ability to endure this world, we even have cause to rejoice, even though we live in this age. For just as Jesus proved to the Sadducees, He also proves to us. The resurrection has been God's plan since the very beginning. Even the burning bush, God made this known to Moses, saying, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." He said, "I am," not "I was." For He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Likewise, Job writes, "And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." Job knows of the resurrection. David writes, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." David knows of the resurrection. Isaiah also writes, "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwelt in the dust, awake and sing for joy. The earth will give birth to its dead." Isaiah knows of the resurrection. Yes, Moses writes about it. David sings about it. The prophets prophesy about it. Jesus teaches about it, and Paul preaches about it. The resurrection of the dead is found everywhere in the Bible. It isn't something that might happen. No, it's something that will happen. Jesus says of those who are resurrected, they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. As Christians, this is what awaits you. Though all we know is the suffering, pain, and death of this world, we are assured that there is another life, one where we will live as children of God and never die. Now that's what I call hope. So remember that hope. Live by that hope. When this world causes you to suffer, remember the comforting hope that we have from Jesus. When this world causes you to despair, turn to Jesus and the certain hope that He gives. When this world brings you to death's door, remember in hope that you will be resurrected from that death unto eternal glory with our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When all else seems hopeless, cling to the certain hope won for us by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So as you leave church today and go back into the world, you will certainly encounter its sin, its depravity, its suffering, and its despair. But when you start to feel hopeless, remember the certain hope that you do have, given to us by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For through Him, you will be raised again with a glorious, imperishable body to live forever in the new creation. Find comfort in this hope. Rejoice in this hope. And share this hope with those around you. To conclude, I can't put it any better than Paul does at the end of our epistle lesson. He says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Glory be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen." Please rise and turn to page 192 to sing the offertory. Ritual of friendship pad, pass it to those next to you, tear off the sheet and place it in the narthex as you exit. Please be seated for our offering. Time, the talents, and the treasures that you have blessed us with. We ask that you would encourage us to use those in service of you and of your kingdom. Guide us and help us in doing so. Amen. Please rise for the prayer of the church. Let us
us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For those who are sick, injured, or recuperating, especially for Ellen Robinson, Eugene Ladisaw, Jill Tarver, Sarah Buller, Ronan Lemke, Bill Moen, Anita Guerrero, Barbara Olson, Jerry Niehus, and the unborn baby of Dennis and Candy Gorman, that you would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially for the families of Clyde Nairns, Eileen Leichenberg, and Duane Evans, that in their time of sorrow, they would not lose hope, but rely on your promise that you will never leave them or forsake them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this congregation, its mission, its programs, especially its Sunday school, Lutheran Youth Fellowship, LCMSU, Early Learning Center, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work you have given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who serve in our armed forces, especially for Doug Juke, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Ricardo Batenga, Kevin Stevenson, and Danny Green, that they be safe in all times and situations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all those who celebrate birthdays this week, especially for Darren Davis, Pastor Eric Rudensky, Evelyn Gaither, David Conley, Susan Crane, Chris Ladisaw, Tammy Lemke, and Ann Schuster, that you who have given them life and renewed that life in their baptism will continue to sustain them in your joy and mercy all their days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and gracious God, you want all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Magnify the power of the gospel in the hearts of your faithful people, that your church may spread the good news of salvation. Protect, encourage, and bless all missionaries who proclaim the saving cross, especially Reverend Arthur and Deaconess Eva Rickman, who serve the Lord as missionaries in Panama. That Christ, being lifted up, may draw all people to himself. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into this world. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross and rising again. Holy Trinity, we thank you that there will be a resurrection of the dead. We ask that you build our faith, that you comfort us with your hope, and that you always keep us on the path to eternal life with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace.